Love and Light. This is Healthy Talk Show for Sunday, February 10th, 2019. I'm Robert.
And I'm Marissa.
Healthy Talk Show is a live weekly discussion of topics relating to health. We stream live on Sundays at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's 11 p.m. UTC at healthytalkshow.com/live with video and audio podcast versions available soon after. healthytalkshow.com/YouTube. That's our YouTube channel. Please subscribe to us over there. We'd only have 16 subscribers right now, I think.
And don't forget to support the show.
Yeah, healthytalkshow.com/support.
We're only asking for $1 a month. That's 25 cents an episode for your entertainment.
Yeah, $1 a month. That's nothing.
And hopefully you're learning a lot. We learn a lot during this show. So.
Yeah, that's true. We do learn quite a bit. Today we're covering, in our main discussion, typhus. Didn't really know too much about it until I heard about it from Dr. Drew. But first, we're going to talk about some headlines. Ask at healthytalkshow.com. That's our email, healthytalkshow.com/discord. What do we got today?
Let's see. Start us off. You got some headlines about
New York CBD Times. Edibles. New York City cracks down on CBD edibles, saying the cannabis derivative is unsafe. Interesting thing I pulled out of this. Let me just read this from that article. Whether the compound is legal has been a source of confusion. In June, the Federal Food and Drug Administration approved the first CBD prescription drug to be sold in the United States. But the Drug Enforcement Administration has said CBD is illegal because it comes from cannabis, a banned Schedule I drug. And on its website, the FDA says products with CBD cannot be sold as dietary supplements or in food that crosses state lines. The war on weed continues.
So confusing.
It is, and it's, isn't it? I guess because we're in California, it's pretty well accepted that CBD's doesn't get you high.
Yeah.
THC gets you high. And a lot of people swear by the effects of CBD just being a miracle cure-all, which
but
it's problematic.
And the weird thing, too, is you can buy CBD online, no problem.
Yeah, so you can order it online. That's true.
Even Texas, I know they have CBD products available pretty freely. They're used in lotions and oils, any sort of thing.
Yeah. And in this New York Times article, they were isolating a certain bakery in New York that's going to take a big hit because their biggest products are CBD-infused products, which, okay, going after business. That's
yeah.
Oof. All right, you got the next story.
All right. So we have
Science Daily, third-hand smoke residue exposes children to chemicals.
Are so this there? Was pretty interesting. They were looking at children's levels of nicotine who had caregivers that smoked, and these caregivers did not smoke in front of the children, but they still found that there was enough residue from the cigarette, and that was still exposing children to nicotine. So that was kind of scary.
Yeah.
And third-hand smoke is just the chemical residue left behind. First-hand smoke is, of course, you smoking it yourself. Second-hand is inhaling somebody else's smoke. Third-hand is chemical residue left behind.
That's very interesting.
Very scary.
Yes. And that makes me wonder about the third-hand residue of vape.
Yeah.
So
we still need to do studies on that.
We need to study that. That's scary. Interesting. All right. Gizmodo, Johnson & Johnson will start showing drug prices in its TV ads. That's cool. The change is in direct response to Trump administration's proposal to tackle high drug costs that was unveiled last year, called the Patient's First Blueprint. One of the ideas pushed by the blueprint was the inclusion of list prices on direct-to-consumer, DTC, drug ads. But J&J said it intentionally went further than that, following feedback it obtained from customers. And from them, they quote from them, as we begin to introduce cost information into our DTC TV ads, we will be thankful and patient-focused in our approach, communicating both list price and out-of-pocket cost information in ways that enable patients and consumers to understand this information easily. Then the article brings up something we brought up in a Healthy Talk Show episode 1. Only two countries, the U.S. and New Zealand, allow drug commercials on TV.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I'm really glad that there's going to be some transparency now. Yeah,
the article says it's not going to be good enough, and it kind of tears into
true,
it.
But
yeah.
At the same time, you have to start somewhere.
We have to remain optimistic.
And we keep reading about, too, how they slightly tweak a drug, and then, you know, now it's the cost goes up. This kind of leads us into another headline.
Yeah, Ars Technica. Drug companies are sitting on generics. 43% of recently approved aren't for sale. You pay more for medicine because hundreds of generics aren't for sale. Oops, wrong one. There we go.
So this was really scary, where drug companies are intentionally not releasing the generics. So therefore, you know, the prices will not go down. You know, that's basic economics. The more people that make a drug and can sell it, that lowers the price for generics for everybody, which is generally considered a good thing. But
yep,
they're keeping those prices high.
There are a lot of generics that are not being released. And it's, I don't know.
It's unethical.
It's, I don't, well, we have to be careful what we say, because, you know, they're big and powerful companies here.
This is true.
From the article, more than 1,600 generic drugs approved, more than 700 or 43% are not for sale. Yeah, oh, that's great.
Also, we just got a subscription. Thank you, YOLO Swaglord. Oh,
thank you, YOLO Swaglord 420. Really appreciate it.
That's direct support for the show.
Thank you so much. That's more than a dollar a month. We appreciate it. You have the next one, the Science Daily. I can't say that word. That's why I gave you that one.
Well, I can say it because I've taken it.
Okay.
So fluconazole makes fungi sexually active. So women probably know this more, but if you have a yeast infection, one of the main ways to get rid of it is taking this fluconazole pill. But what's really interesting is fungi normally are asexual, so meaning they don't breed with each other to reproduce. But for some reason, in the presence of fluconazole, they become sexually active. So they start responding in a way where they want to increase their genetic variability. So that's kind of scary. So ladies, or men too, they can also get yeast infections. Make sure you treat that yeast infection fully. You know, you do not want this mutating.
Yes.
Make sure you take whatever drugs necessary, see your doctor. But then also make sure your lifestyle will help with yeast infections. So they like sugar. So got to cut down on that sugar, unfortunately. Yeah.
Probiotics.
I take probiotics.
Yep. And what we think, because they come in the pill form.
Yeah.
Refrigerated and unrefrigerated. Do the non-refrigerated ones work? How can they work? I don't understand that.
Yeah, there's a lot of argument that the bacteria dies. So whatever the advertised strength is, isn't actually the case if it's not refrigerated. So
yeah, you did, you logged in just in time to hear about yeast infections. Exactly, that's what Healthy Talk Show is all about.
Healthy talk show,
we're talking about yeast infections. Who else talks about these?
Yeah, that's true. We
give big you deal
the big real deal. Stuff
yeah, the real stuff. Probiotics,
take your probiotics.
We drink kefir, it helps.
Kefir's really good.
Kefir's really good for everything. Highly recommend it.
Healthy.
Yep. Is there anything else from that study? That's
no, I think that was interesting.
All right, Gizmodo, you're probably sneezing wrong, according to this article.
Well, I know I sneeze wrong because I sneeze really loudly, but what did they say?
Well, there's surprisingly little research comparing various methods of covering your coughs and sneezes. The most relevant one, this guy, person writing the article from the 2013 study, University of Alberta, Canada, recruited a small group of healthy people to cough to let their to their heart's content under different conditions. And the sad thing is, every single method, including the arm sneeze and face mask, still left plenty of tiny aerosolized particles that could, at least in theory, be capable of infecting someone through the air. So there is no real good effective way.
Dang it, we're all going to die.
Yeah, so they say, it's not perfect, but it still beats your hands. Do not sneeze into your hands. That's the key. Do not sneeze into your hands. And so, just clean up afterwards.
All right, use that hand sanitizer.
Gizmodo, good job. I love it. That was a good article. Really appreciate it. Public service. CNET. Facebook acquires AI startup that helps you shop. Just because we like talking about Facebook, and this I don't understand. It's weird.
Yeah, I didn't really understand it either, but something about Grok Style, which is supposed to help shoppers find furniture and home decor.
Yeah.
The main takeaway, I thought, is just more ways they're trying to understand your life, your shopping habits.
Yeah.
And I don't like that being in one centralized location.
And the Grok Style, which is the company that they bought, IKEA uses too.
Very interesting.
FYI, IKEA.
We'll keep watching these developments.
Yep. Okay. We're going to switch over to this camera here.
So speaking of apps.
Yes, we have an app here that is going to track the homeless. Let's check it out. Ah, yes, this is great. San Francisco has 7,500 homeless people. Now an app aims to track every homeless person and connect them to support services. This is a very dramatic video. And after 5 months, one system has helped 70 people get off the streets. There are concerns about privacy. This is from Bloomberg, by the way, I think. This video. So, that video is not very fun. But Bloomberg Businessweek, this app wants to track.
So what was your take on it, Robert?
Every homeless person in San Francisco. Zero Hedge. San Francisco launches app to track homeless people. This is an app that it's one of those. It seems like one of those fake startups that the one system. These startups that have a lot of money behind them. And they're actually not trying to solve anything. Because it doesn't really make sense. And here's what I picked from the two articles that we read. Designed by Nevada startup BitFocus, one system collects data from 15 city and state agencies. Homeless participants are asked 17 questions that can help evaluate their individual situation, including time spent on the street, health, and vulnerability. That information, along with record and places, blah, blah, blah. The program kicked off in August, and the 50 employees, we have 50 employees, $5 million to assess more than 2,000 people over 90 days. Yeah, this is interesting.
So what are they doing with this data?
That's what one of the concerns are, is actually what is going to be used, what's this data going to be used for? And an issue that they ran into, and they quote these in these articles, is homeless don't trust. They're not very trusting.
Yeah.
So when you show up with the tablet and say, here, give me your information, and then, oh, I don't have an ID. You know, that's another issue. And yeah. I work in a field related to homeless, and we're supposed to be helping the homeless, and we don't even know what we're doing half the time. Because there's no way to coordinate this, because these people, they can move place to place, and it's, there's no way to track them.
Plus, you're also assuming that they want your help.
Yeah. So what are we going to do, put tracking devices on all of them?
Yeah.
You know, like wild animals? I don't.
Yeah. And so what happens if they don't want to respond or accept help, or who says that they
have to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now we're talking about forcing people?
Tag them and let them free. That's exactly what it's starting to feel like. Because we just, in where I work, we just interview people and they're all in a database. But that database, so what?
Plus, I've heard there's some worry, too, about facial recognition being used with the homeless. And that could go one of two ways, because either they could be entered into a database and now they're kind of marked forever.
Yeah.
Or some people argue it could be useful if you're trying to locate people. I mean, you know, there's two sides to every argument, but ultimately, who's in control of this data?
Yeah. And that's of concern. But that leads us into the typhus. And here are two short videos on typhus and how they connect with, well, we'll see. Let's check it out. Typhus.
Mounds of garbage pile up on a downtown LA street. Garbage that draws rats, which harbor fleas. Fleas spread the typhus bacteria when they bite humans. And now their latest victim is Deputy LA City Attorney Liz Greenwood.
It felt like somebody was driving railroad stakes through my eyes and out the back of my neck.
3 months ago, Greenwood, a veteran prosecutor, began experiencing horrible headaches and high fevers. Her doctor tested her blood and found she was infected with typhus.
Who gets typhus? It's a medieval disease that's caused by trash.
Piles of trash like those on Saras Avenue, which we questioned the mayor about 4 months ago.
This is a breeding ground for typhus.
That is unacceptable to me, and as mayor, I'm going to make sure that that is changed.
After our story aired in October, the city did haul away the trash on Saris Avenue and launched more frequent cleanings of streets in Skid Row, the area now known as the Typhus Zone. But 4 months later, the garbage is once again piling up on Saris and all over LA.
This is the city of Los Angeles.
Estella Lopez represents businesses in part of downtown LA and is worried that the typhus epidemic is only getting worse.
You can't solve this until you hit the cause of it. And the cause of it is that you still have these mountains of trash.
Yes. There's a part two of that clip.
So that's kind of scary.
Yes, that's happening right now. In L.A., let's go to the next story.
And next the latest part. Numbers from the state health department show a record number of typhus cases in L.A. County in 2018. At least 124 people.
Yikes.
And more than 80% of those cases occurred outside downtown L.A.
Do you think the city is doing enough to stop the outbreak?
No.
Deputy City Attorney Liz Greenwood thinks the city should fumigate all city buildings in the downtown area for fleas, including City Hall East, where she works, and City Hall. The city has already fumigated parts of nearby LAPD headquarters that have been plagued with fleas, and it shut down and fumigated LAPD Central Division, where several cops were bitten by fleas, according to this veteran officer.
Are cops afraid of getting typhus?
Of course, yes.
It's not just homeless folks.
But the city told Greenwood it doesn't have the resources to fumigate City Hall East, where she says hundreds of city employees who work there and thousands of citizens who visit are at risk of getting typhus.
I am concerned about going back to work and getting this again because I thought I was going to die.
Mounds of garbage pile up again, experiencing blood
and a medieval disease. That
did you see that clean
and
weird effect?
Only getting
it did?
Worse.
Oh no, I didn't.
And the latest numbers from
that
the state
really
health department fumigate that. All city buildings in the downtown area for the city should fumigate all.
That's some high end CG work there.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow. Great job. That's great.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. Hold on. One more clip. Question of the mayor, just because I thought this was pretty funny.
We asked Mayor Garcetti's office why they haven't requested that City Hall buildings be fumigated for the fleas that can carry typhus. The mayor's office didn't answer our specific question, but simply sent us a statement saying, since last fall, there's been a comprehensive effort to improve cleanliness and protect public health in the Civic Center.
There it is. Yes, question from the chat. Is fumigating going to solve the problem? Probably not. That whole piece was probably paid for by a fumigation company. I wouldn't be surprised if Orkin paid for that whole piece. But
well, so I did want to cover what is typhus.
Yeah.
So
what
we
is typhus?
Switch on over to my computer for
you
a second.
Got it?
So typhus is kind of this generalized term for these group of diseases caused by a bacteria. So there's three different types. So one of them is spread by fleas, the other by lice, the other by chiggers. But generally all these illnesses involve fevers, body rash, etc.
Yep.
You can read about the different types. So the epidemic typhus is a one caused by the louse. The marine is the flea-borne typhus. So that's probably the one that they're referring to, since they're referring to the fleas.
So we need to say marine typhus when they're referring to it, or
well,
people are talking about the water cooler?
Well, they haven't identified it, but yeah, okay. Probably.
So tomorrow at work, I'm going to say, or whenever I go back to work, I'm going to say, you know, you're talking about marine typhus, I believe. Marine.
And then
the
last one is scrub typhus. So that's the one spread by chiggers. And so they're usually not transmitted from person to person contact, but they are spread by the fleas. So all these fleas that are there with the rats, they can jump to the homeless pets. They can jump to people. They can jump to our pets. They can.
Yeah.
So this is where it gets scary, is
jumping from the pet to pet.
Yeah, jumping from pets to people. So anywhere that there could be rodents and fleas, we have a problem.
Yes.
So this could spread.
Yes. And we have two articles on this, if you want to go back to that, or are you still going?
No, we can go to those
articles. Two articles, Daily Mail and Fox 11. Rats, employees at LA City Hall chase down rodents in the midst of typhus outbreaks as deadly infection sickens the homeless sleeping near the 90-year-old building. Deadly illness, not quite deadly right now. Flea-borne typhus outbreak in Los Angeles may cause officials to rip out carpet in city buildings. That's Fox 11. And, of course, Daily Mail does their little bullet points here, which take them or leave them.
So you made a interesting statement in your words that you said that, right, it's not deadly yet.
Yeah.
But for the homeless, it could definitely become deadly.
Quickly.
Yeah, so that's one of the scary realities of being homelessness.
Yeah.
So if you leave typhus untreated, it can quickly become worse or eventually lead to illness or death.
And these people are not getting proper medical services. So, and Dr. Drew is actually first on this. Dr. Drew from Loveline, I'm going to give him credit. He's been talking about typhus for a minute. And we have a typhus warning with Dr. Drew Pinsky we could show.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew. We have an endemic typhus outbreak here in Southern California. This had to happen. I've been predicting it for 6 months. It's because of the overpopulation of rats around the homeless populations. This was inevitable. It's dangerous, and here are three things you need to know. Febrile illness with a rash on your palms or soles of your feet that hurts, that is typhus. See a doctor immediately. Be on the lookout for this. Number two, you must control the fleas on your pets. That's how it gets to us. It comes off the rodents, onto our pets, onto our hands, into us. That's how we catch this. It's not human-to-human transmission. And number three, you've got to control the rodent population. We must pay attention to this. This is not over. It's going to get worse, and it is very serious.
Dr. Drew. And he wrote a long piece on this.
Yeah.
Which I think you want to go to now.
Yeah.
Is it on your screen or my screen?
Pull up my screen for a second, yep. And then you can pull up the article on yours.
You got it.
There was one point I wanted to make that kind of put it in context. Is because, you know, typhus, it exists around the world. So there are a few cases in the U.S. For example, in 2015, California had a total of 56 cases. But we're already seeing, you know, a lot of cases. So I think what was the figure from your article, like 120 from
video?
I think
in the video.
I had an article that said 167. So somewhere in the high, like 150s. And what's worrisome is the wintertime is supposed to be like the off season for fleas. So during this time, it's cold, so the disease doesn't spread as much. But as we start warming up, we could see a rapid increase. So that's also disturbing. So let's go to that Dr. Drew article. You have it pulled up.
Yep. Dr. Drew warns of plague outbreak. How the homeless crisis puts Los Angeles at risk of norovirus, typhus, and how you say that word?
Rickettsial infections.
There you go. Big words.
Yeah. And this article also mentions back to that hepatitis outbreak in San Diego.
Yes.
And all this goes into the sanitation and, you know, we don't know what to do with the homeless issue.
Yeah. And cities. Wasn't the hepatitis also tied to the lack of plastic bags?
That's what some people are saying.
Okay, we might revisit that in a second.
Yeah.
Don't jump around too much.
Sorry.
Unless you want to.
Well, it all kind of ties in.
Okay.
But, so one stat from his article said that Skid Row found that there were only 9 public toilets for 1,777 people, and they were mostly inaccessible during overnight periods.
That's highly inconvenient.
Yeah. So where are these people supposed to do their basic human needs?
Yes.
Like,
and
go to the bathroom.
Proposition 67. On November 8th, 2016, California voters approved Proposition 67, the statewide single-use carryout bag ban. As a result, SB 270 is in effect, and most grocery stores, retail stores, with a pharmacy, convenience stores, food marts, and liquor stores will no longer be able to provide single-use plastic carryout bags to their customers. Instead, these stores may provide a reusable grocery bag or recycle bag. Recycled paper bag to a customer at the point of sale at a charge of at least 10 cents. It went into effect the very next day that this was actually voted into law, which is insane. That's insane to me. And all the retailers that I visited the next day, they all had the single-use bag. They all had the new bags out for the 10 cents. How did they manufacture those bags so fast? They were anticipating this. How is that possible?
That was extremely weird.
It's so strange.
Yeah, it's all related though.
Yes.
As we continue to get more and more homeless. So the Dr. Drew article kind of talks about sanitary conditions and why we're not used to diseases running rampant. That's because we have these sophisticated water treatment centers. Yes. He kind of goes into that. Basically, we came up with modern sewer. We started chlorinating to disinfect the water, and that means that we don't have disease outbreaks normally. So what's happening, though, currently is, as you know, housing prices continue to rise. A lot of these people may have mental illnesses. Maybe they don't want help, you know, or maybe they just aren't interested in, you know, finding a home. They're okay being homeless and living on the street.
And but, yeah, what do we do?
Yeah, what do we do? And the problem is, where does their waste go? They don't have anywhere to put their waste, so it ends up on the street. Like yep. we saw, it piles up.
And Drew, I believe, mentioned in his article the river channels, the flood channels in Orange County.
Yeah.
Did he mention that? I think he did.
Oh, so he said that Orange County officials evicted more than 700 people from a 3-mile-long homeless encampment on the banks of the Santa Ana River.
Yep. Here's one in Riverside that I personally am involved with, or professionally involved with, and that's a flood channel. And when we get lots of rain, apparently the city or someone, flood control, brought out boats for the people. Yeah, when we got those heavy rains. That's what I was told. And yeah, that's a Mission Boulevard right there.
Otherwise, these homeless people can also be swept away by the floodwaters and die.
Yeah.
Which people don't talk about.
Yes. Because the waters, and the same thing, I think in Vegas, is actually a huge thing.
Yeah.
Huge underground encampments and stuff. Dang, I should have thought about that.
Well, this Santa Ana River one, they said they removed 1,000 pounds of human waste, 5,000 needles, and 250 tons of trash.
Yeah.
Oh, what did you find there, Pookie?
And those city work, and Caltrans is even getting involved in this now. And according to Drew's article, Dr. Drew's article, and Caltrans, is they're filing union grievances saying this is not our job.
I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, very interesting. But are we? We have a problem, and no one wants to address it. And the homeless issue is a serious problem. No one wants to talk about it because homeless people don't vote. Let's be real. Politicians don't care because they don't vote. Most of them do not have IDs.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen? We have a class of people that can't be reintegrated into the workforce.
Well, there's a quote from the Dr. Drew article that I liked. So it says, "Do we as a society have the right to force people into programs even if they don't want to participate? What about the safety of minor children who are homeless? Where is a line between civil rights and public safety to be drawn? The law does allow for involuntary commitment, but the bar is very high." And I think some people are trying to enact stricter laws, but then that might make homelessness illegal, which you don't want to do that either.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Yeah. So, you know, some government officials are trying to treat homelessness as just not really as people anymore. And these are still people. But there is a big question of what can be done.
Yeah. Again, we have a class of people that can be reintegrated. Because AI, 5G, everything. We're doing less automation.
Yeah.
What? I don't know.
We're trying to take away jobs from.
But I highly encourage you to keep your eyes open. Look out for these encampments. Because these people are doing things. They're developing survival skills that we can't even. They have amazing skills in that regard. Here's a picture of from work here. This is a field I found. This is a very large, fully fenced compound of some kind that they've constructed, all out of recycled materials. Very impressive. But again, I don't know what we're going to do.
Yeah, that's a good point from the chat, that reintegration costs money. No one wants to pay.
Yeah, and we have.
Well, we also shut down mental institutions, which they may have been doing some bad stuff, but now at the same time, now there's nowhere for these people to go if they are suffering from mental illnesses. So I don't know. It's a big question. And there's still the question of, does anything have to be done? You know, can these people just live outside the system?
Yeah. Is there a way for that to be? For that to happen? A lot of people have thought about, or at least I've heard people talk about, repurposing some of these old department stores, like all these Sears and JCPenney's that go out of business because they all have plumbing and electricity.
Yeah.
Repurposing them as being showers and restrooms and stuff like that, public services in that regard, but again, yeah, it costs money.
I've read some articles too that there's not enough Section 8 housing. That could be another issue.
I know a lot about that. There's definitely not enough.
Yeah, I don't know how much you want to talk about.
You have
about
10-year waiting list across the board for most Section 8 housing, so yeah, that's 10-year waiting list. It's a very long time.
I've also heard that the homeless don't like the shelters necessarily. They can be loud. They can be crowded.
Yeah.
There's rules, you know.
Not accommodating to animals. Cities are trying to have animal services work with homeless and trying to get the animals taken care of too. Yeah. It's a whole separate issue, but the animals are what could spread the typhus.
But at the same time, the animals provide great companionship.
And protection.
Yeah, especially for the female homeless. Yep. They definitely need their dogs for protection.
Oh, yeah.
Because it is rough out there.
What are we going to do?
I don't know. I really don't.
Crap. Healthy talk show.
But we want to keep talking about it.
Yes, we do. And because we don't like ending on a sad note, talking about typhus. And
What causes what? Homelessness?
No, typhus.
No,
what causes it? The chat. You have to address the chat.
Sorry, in the chat, what causes it?
You have to remember, if someone's listening to this, you have to provide a lot of context from the chat. Has to be more than housing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
it's definitely more than a shortage of housing.
That's a complex issue. It could be rising rent prices, lack of jobs, mental illness, or just they don't want to participate in the system. So it's hard to deconvolute
or
those issues.
Or recently released from jail.
Yeah.
Also, you're going to usually end up homeless because you can't get a job.
That's true. They just throw you out in the street.
Yeah. They basically just throw you out in the street and then you're homeless.
Good luck.
Yeah. I've talked to people who are like that. How long have you been homeless? 5 years. Why are you homeless? Because I got released from jail. How long have you been released from jail? 5 years ago. Oh, okay. Well, you've been homeless ever since you were released. Okay.
From the chat, we said...
Fact check that.
Yeah, you fact.
You're the chat room. From the chat, hey Pookie, fact check me. But I read that around a quarter of the homeless people have mental illnesses.
That could be true. It is a high percentage. It's definitely a factor.
Yeah, Gracious Panda from Mixer, say yes or no if you want me to follow you. Of course, I want you to follow us. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, we want you to join the conversation.
Yeah. HealthyTalkShow.com.
What are your experiences?
Yeah, come on over to Twitch.
Unless you want to be our mixer moderator.
Yeah, unless you want to be our mixer moderator, we'll talk business.
Yeah.
We'll talk business in a minute here. But revisiting, I'm convinced that we have issues with homeless, that the plastic bag ban in California hurts the homeless more than anybody else.
Right after that happened, all these outbreaks did start popping up out of nowhere.
Yeah, because they poop in the bags. And it's a good, see my CPU usage just spiked. What the heck just happened? Why? It just went back down.
And I feel like, you know, them being able to poop in a bag was at least giving them some shred of dignity.
Yep. But now this, you know, this is an old story, but I think it's funny. Poop Patrol in San Francisco. For those of you who don't know about it, here you go.
The city will soon have a so-called Poop Patrol out on the streets. The name is exactly what it's going to do. Soon, they'll be targeting fecal matter areas on the sidewalk and cleaning it up. The Department of Public Works says this new team will consist of 5 workers and a supervisor. In addition to still responding to 311 calls that are reporting this problem, the Poop Patrol will be trying to address the issue before those calls even come in. This is a major part of London Breed's big push to make San Francisco less dirty. She recently signed an $11 billion budget, the largest in the city's history, and gave Public Works 5.3% more money.
We have to clean the city up. I think part of what we have to do a better job of doing is cleaning the city up and getting more people to feel responsible for doing the same.
That's a partial, yeah, that's interesting. The Poop Patrol.
Yeah.
And a lot of people know about that. But I was actually interested by how much, because talking about funding this stuff, Business Insider, San Francisco has a poop patrol to deal with its feces problem, and workers make more than $184,000 a year in salary and benefits. An article published August 24th, 2018, a little bit old. Apparently they make $71,000 a year plus an additional $112,000 in benefits.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, that's pretty good for...
for picking up poop.
Picking up poop, I guess. Wow. Although, let's mention the cost of living in San Francisco is crazy high, and that's probably not even enough money for a small studio. Let's be real. Small, you know, what is it, $3,000 for a bed?
Yeah.
A bunk bed?
I think you have to make $350,000 now. That's like the medium income in San Francisco or something.
Yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, there we go. HealthyTalkShow.com/support. If you want to help us get to $184,000 a year, get 184,000 people to give us $1 a year, and we will make $184,000 a year.
That's true.
HealthyTalkShow.com/support. It's great. AskHealthyTalkShow.com. You can email us.
Yeah, keep the conversation going there.
Yep, we're on. We're trying to stream more, but it's just we're dealing with roof leaks. We're dealing with a lot of crap right now, so it's really hard to stream when it's raining inside of your house.
Yeah.
It's really hard to have all these electronic devices going, but we're good. What else we got? Anything else? Anything else before we shut down and say goodbye?
I think that's it.
All right.
We'll keep our eyes and ears out.
Thank you for tuning in. And we're a podcast, so healthytalkshow.com. Go there, subscribe to the podcast, YouTube, all that good stuff. It's all there.
You can find us Spotify, iTunes.
Spotify, iTunes, Google Play Music.
And your favorite podcasting apps.
Yep, and all of them. Just do it.
We're on there.
We're there. Healthytalkshow.com. Thank you very much. Have a good night.